Weekend Wagers, brought to you by weekendwagers.com. Go there. You can sign up for the free newsletter. And then, of course, play the pick'em, and you can win some cash, which is always fun. Motown Fisher joins us once again. Motown, how you doing?
Hey, Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. I probably one of the more unique stories ever. I'm not sure people know this, but there's a bill, C-290, which involves single-game betting in Canada. And the House of Commons, I didn't know this happens, but the House of Commons had a lottery recently, and then each member of parliament, you get picked, and Brian Massey got the number 7 pick, so that means you kind of win, because I think there's only 10, right, who got to reintroduce bills?
10 or 20.
10 or 20? So not very many.
Right.
So he got the number 7.
And there's lots of bills.
Yeah, there's lots of bills. So basically they have a lottery, and everybody puts their name, and you win, you're like, okay, I get to reintroduce a bill. So he reintroduces C-290, which is a gambling bill off of a lottery. I love it. So do you think the chances of it, that now he reintroduces it, what do you think is different this time around?
The government.
Okay.
The government that's looking to legalize marijuana for tax purposes is very likely to be friendly toward a bill like this, which the Canadian Gaming Association has now put a new stat out there that $10 billion is wagered under the table under single sporting events. $10 billion that could be taxed. That is not.
Well, that just seems like in a country that's everybody's looking like, hey, I want to lower my taxes. I don't think you're going to get people to stop betting.
No, so they're going to bet somewhere.
Yeah. So why am I having bet in your country and have you, everybody, benefit from it?
Accountability, revenue. Yeah,
yeah, sure. It's a no-brainer. And I know they still have to put a lot of money into, because, you know, I know there's everybody texting, well, Gregory, you guys are promoting gambling. No, we're not. Always be safe, be smart. No one wants to be a gambler's addiction. And I know that even from these taxes, anything, there's a high percentage that has to go to these type of programs to help people.
Absolutely.
Right? So that's smart. But it's interesting to see if that comes around. Now, that's one interesting court case. The other one to me happened in New York because Eric Schneiderman filed a lawsuit against the two companies, DraftKings, right?
And FanDuel.
And FanDuel, asking them to give all the money they made back to people who lost. Like, seriously?
They had 600,000 customers in that state. And apparently, they took in more than $200 million in entry fees from 2015. And apparently, he says that they should give it all back to the people that lost their entry fees. I'm not sure how that happened.
So what's funny about that is, so the people that won, do they have to give their money back too?
I don't know all the intricate details of this particular request, but I know that that is the general. And he wants them to give them all back to lost money and pay a fine of up to $5,000 per case, which, again, I don't know how, you know, the logistics and how much court case that would actually be, how many dollars would be spent in actually trying to do this.
So now, has this impacted Canadians playing DraftKings or FanDuel?
Not particularly.
Okay.
No, Canada's still considered a very gray market, more or less, you know, everything's more or less still on the table and it's fine. And nothing's really, in some states, of course, things have changed in the U.S., but, you know, there's been some talk as well about different reintroductions state level, between the states that are outlawing it and saying, okay, let's tax. A lot of states just really don't care. That's actually most of it right now. There's many states that just go, yeah, business as usual.
Sure. The NFL, Maj was saying how for him, and I know you're a huge NFL guy, he thinks this wildcard weekend's maybe his favorite weekend of the NFL playoffs. And it just changed recently in the last hour, but now the Packers are the only road team that's not a favorite. They're plus one heading into that game in Washington. So Washington, is, I guess, the favorite minus one.
It's a pick'em.
It's almost a pick'em.
It's moved around. Sure. I mean, it was Pack minus one all week, and now it's Washington minus one. So it's fluctuated a little bit, and, you know, we'll see. I mean, at the end of the day, pick a winner in that game.
And Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and Seattle, all road teams. Pittsburgh and Kansas are favored minus three, while Seattle is favored minus five. Who do you like this weekend in the NFL when you're looking at your numbers?
Well, we've been doing really well this year. Pro Computer Gambler, who runs our numbers, they're up for the sixth straight year, beating the NFL regular season. And so this week, one of the picks that Tom's allowing me to put out there, that we'll put the rest out in the Weekend Wagers newsletter, is the Packers. We like the Packers this week. A lot of things going well for the Packers, aside from just our run numbers, but the Field of Pack had a way tougher schedule this year. Obviously, they started out differently, but you know, it ended in sort of in a little kathump. But Washington benefited from a hugely weak division. I mean, the Giants, the Cowboys, the Eagles were six of their 16 games, which they went 4-2. That's four of their nine wins. The other five were the Bills, the Bears, the Saints, the Bucks, and the Rams. Do I have to tell you that the best team in that lot was the 8-8 Bills? Probably not. So the Pack has struggled lately, which everybody's known. It's well documented. But in the end, they still beat the Hawks, the Chiefs, and the Vikings. So, again, the Packers going into a team who, again, when you're in a weak division, things can happen. But I think this is one of those that we really have to look at the Packers strongly and say this is where they're going to regroup, figure it out. They're the team that's been there multiple times. And hopefully for us, they're going to move on.
Now, when you crunch the numbers, Kansas City, Brad, who's a diehard Kansas City fan, pointed out, saying thank you guys for not discounting their 10-game winning streak. But then he also pointed out 22 years since the Chiefs' last playoff win. It happened with Joe Montana at quarterback.
Joe Montana.
In 1994, 16 years ago, 22 years ago, the last time it happened. Do those type of things matter? When you're crunching the numbers, like history for certain teams, or is it all based on recent, you know, number crunching? Because if you look at that, that's still kind of the history of that franchise.
For sure, Jason. But in the end, you have to really, no matter what those long-term trends are saying, you really just have to look, particularly in the last year, two, three. You go beyond there, and we're talking different coaches, different styles, different, obviously different players. So, no, it really doesn't make a huge difference, and it doesn't really factor huge into our algorithms anyways. Some people, of course, yes, 22 years, that's a long time. But really, no, it doesn't really factor into our equation. I'm looking at the Chiefs game. That's one of those that I have a real hard time looking at, actually. It's a real tough game. I'm sort of leaning on Houston on that one, to be honest with you.
How come?
Houston is just one of those teams that it's one of those underdog teams. Again, this is as a lean, I'm saying Houston looks like the defense could step up in this game. Particularly, though, if I had a real better pick on that one, I really like the under 40. That's the one I would prefer over actually Houston winning. I'm not saying anything more than that, other than I really like the under in something like a 20-17 type game in that one. The other one I really like this week is the Bengals. The Bengals are one of these teams that, again, everybody's questioning McCarron, what's going to happen. I think his last 4 weeks, he's improved. He's got a lot of snaps. This is one of those games that Pittsburgh, who has, in the end, we even look at Pittsburgh. Not much to say about the Steeler quality of wins this year. Obviously Denver, but otherwise two Cleveland wins, Indy, the Raiders, losing to the Chiefs, Hawk, and even recently the Ravens, splitting the series with the Bengals. I really like the Bengals in this spot.
Now, it's interesting. Dalton is out. Also, of course, Pittsburgh's out with both of their running backs, D'Angelo Williams. But I think we'd argue a quarterback position is more valuable than a running back. What is it, the secondary? You think they can shut down the passing attack of Pittsburgh? What is it about the Bengals you like? Because they haven't won a playoff game with Dalton. I know he's not starting.
Right. I think this is the perfect spot where, in the betting angle, the Dolphins or the Steelers look very enticing to most people. And in this case, particularly on the road, I really like the fact that the Steelers haven't had a huge strength of schedule. And that we look at strength of schedule a lot, particularly over a shortened season, where what are your quality of wins? And then that's where a lot of the power rankings come out of, and that's where a lot of your algorithm comes out of when you're creating these stats.
Okay.
And now you're looking and saying, okay, Cincy at home, 3 points. Very, very good spot here, particularly when you say that this quarterback, it's not like he was just thrown in. He's a top quality quarterback. He's had the last 4 weeks to figure it out. And this is a great spot for him. We definitely think that I definitely think in this case that Cincinnati has a really good shot at winning this game straight up even.
Motown Fisher joins us from weekendwagers.com. You can go there, sign up for the free newsletter. Also, you can play the seven picks and you can be a big winner. Now, interesting enough, how much do injuries come into it? We know Dalton is out for Cincinnati, but when you like Houston, everybody knows J.J. Watt's the guy on defense.
Right.
The fact that KC's starting center is out, how much does that suddenly change it?
Remember, as we've talked about over the last couple of years, everything is, when we're looking at it from a betting perspective, it's all built into the line. So yes, of course, everybody can focus on that one key matchup, but football is such a game that there's just too many adjustments and too many smart coaches that make the adjustments to figure that out. Yes, of course, quarterbacks are the key injury of anywhere, and that's a huge matchup that's going to be taking place. But in the end, that actually could be one of the reasons that I also feel with our raw numbers it could go under, because more pressure on the quarterback.
Seattle and Minnesota is an interesting one. Minnesota's being the team that very few people have given a lot of credit to this year. They got 11 wins. Everyone's like, how do they have 11 wins?
How did they get 11 wins?
But they got 11 wins, and they beat some pretty good teams along the way. Now, they did get absolutely smoked at home in early December against these very same Seattle Seahawks, 38-7, where the Seahawks really kind of started to pick up their game and have dominated them. Is there any, if Minnesota, and they're at home, but there would be the upset because they're +5, what needs to happen for them to win this game?
For Minnesota, I mean, Minnesota has a great shot in this game, but again, our numbers are showing Seattle in this one, to be honest. The lean is definitely on Seattle. Like you said, the last time, this was one of the catalyst games for the entire Seahawks season when they went in to Minnesota the last time. So now it's coming back and you're going, okay, 5 points is kind of that iffy number. I mean, will they win straight up? You know, who's going to win this game straight up? I really got to think Seattle has just built for the last 3-4 years to win games like this, even though on the road. And remember, just a few years ago, everybody used to talk about how Seattle couldn't win on the road outside of their time zone, and they couldn't go east, they couldn't go central, they couldn't do anything. And now they're in the same spot where they've proven everybody wrong every single year for the last 3 years. They were out of the playoffs after week 5 again this year. Everybody counted them out. This is a team that you can't count out. You can never count out. And this is one of those spots that they've just got the better general team, better organization. And I do think they're going to win this game. Whether they win it by 5, that's a tough call.
Now, looking to the NHL, and you know, I think there's a lot of us who every time you go into a game and thinking, okay, it's going to be over. But the average game in the NHL now is 5.22 goals per game, right, which is the second lowest in 60 years. Dallas is the only team in the NHL whose games have averaged over 6 goals per game. Right. The only team in the NHL, and they're at 6.1. So not a high enough, but they're still over. It's the only one, which is
but on average, that's huge in a betting perspective. Yeah.
So you got Tampa Bay coming to town. Now the Oilers have been under 4 of their last 7.
Right.
Right. Tampa Bay's went under their last 2. But in a game like this, when you look at the history of both of these teams, it seems like, okay, it's either going to be 2-1 or it's definitely going to be over. Right. It's going to be over.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's not a lot where they're 5.5 and right on, you know, maybe 6. It's either
lately
7
no.
or 8, or it's 3 goals.
And Tampa in particular. Tampa's one of these strange teams. They're either going to, again, back to the 2-1 game, but then you look at some of their games in December, and they were 5-3 one way or the other. So it really just depends how this game's going to start. I think a lot of this has to do with how the Oilers are going to play. Rather than saying, okay, it's how Tampa's going to play, it's really a lot of this is going to be if the Oilers get good goaltending, their defense can hold them off the board early, and it's a low-scoring first period. Again, this is just, you know, we're shooting in the dark here. We have numbers that say very slight lean on the under. I personally like the under for a lot of reasons. But yeah, a lot of people think Tampa's a big-time over team. But I think this is one of those 2-1 type games. I mean, again, for the fans who are going there, I hope it's 2-1 in the favor of the Oilers. But
now, or higher, let's be honest. I'm selfish.
4-1 is still
like
good,
goals,
yeah.
Right? I would like, you know, 9-1 or something. But obviously...
But with your point, too, on who's scoring and even the lines in regards to the totals right now, I have not seen. I've been looking because that was a good point about who's scoring a lot of goals. I remember 10, 15 years ago when totals would be consistently at 8.5.
Yeah.
7.5.
Like 5.5 is pretty much the guaranteed line in almost every game now.
And 5. Yeah. I haven't seen a ton of 4.5, which is good. At least that's there. But on the other side of that, I'll tell you, there's not been
like
a lot
of... Like when was the last time you saw a 6.5?
6 even. Usually you'll see some 6. In the last month or two, I can't even remember seeing a 6.
No, and the NHL, historically, there's less scoring in the second half of the season because teams are more comfortable, and now, you know, coaches have gotten them ingrained in the more of the defensive system, sadly enough, and it dominates it even more. So you wonder if astute bettors looking, you know, well, your gut might want you to always say over because you're thinking entertainment. Smart bet right now would seem that if it's 5.5, unders is more often than not the right bet.
Where they really get you on the total in the NHL, though, is always that last bounce. Is it a matter of it's a 3-2 game, yeah, you're pulling the goalie, and now you're just holding on for dear life. To be honest, when I bet an under, I will actually not even watch the last 2 minutes in a tight game because I just can't. It's impossible. You're watching guys shoot it down the ice. It's too much stress for me.
Now, that is true. The empty net factor, right? That makes a big difference. It's so easy to score in the empty net.
It's so, yeah. No, absolutely.
And one quick last one in the, are there numbers that you look like the Warriors are looking to get their 34th win in 36 games. And they're only, now it's funny. I say only. 9.5-point favorites on the road in Portland, but the numbers say they cover. Like, it's amazing that 36 games into the season, people are still saying only 9.5 favorites. Like, wow, this is going to be a tight one. They're only going to win by 10.
Well, the Lakers the other day, they were 14, and we had our numbers to win by 3. And again, when we look at our raw numbers and I review them every day in the morning, and I look at them and go, God, 14 points? Oh, they're going to win by 3? Holy moly. I mean, but then, let's face it, that's only 4 points a quarter. That's only 2 extra shots than the other team. And when you look, even like a game like last night, where the Kings, the Sacramento Kings, were up 20-some against the Lakers, and they came back and ended up winning, but only by 3. It was a tie game. The Lakers got it back. In the end, some of these teams, all they need to do is put runs together. But with the Warriors, it's really tough when they get ahead of you. We've seen it over and over, even in the little phase when Curry was out. It's really hard for teams like that, teams who they're facing, to get behind. And then somehow, yes, you can make a run, but you got to make like 5 runs when you're playing the Warriors, because the Warriors are just out for blood. They don't care. They want to beat you, and they want to beat you bad. It's actually really fun to watch. Reminds me of the Oilers of the 80s. They don't want to stop.
Yeah, they're ruthless. And I love, they've got a killer instinct. And all of Gretzky's teammates said the greatest thing about him was if he had 4, he wanted 5. If he had 5, he wanted 6.
And that's Curry. That's Thompson. And their bench is ruthless. They're up 20. They want to beat you by 30. They do not care.
And the thing was, very few, I don't ever recall reading or hearing a lot about, oh, Gretzky's a jerk, right?
No.
People just, well, he's just that good. Right. And so having a killer instinct, there's nothing wrong with that. He didn't gloat about it. He didn't, you know, it wasn't fist pumping in your face, but he was like, man, if I got 4, I want 5.
And to me, that's Steph Curry right now. You know what? Steph Curry, he makes a shot. I mean, he gets emotional too. But I mean, you see some guys in this league are just all up and you know, spinning the pod and doing, you know, Harden and all these guys. You know what? Curry shoots his shots. He's happy. He's excited. He obviously. But on the other side of that, I see him get knocked down. Guys pick him up from the other team. Like, you know, it says a lot about him. They know he's the next big show in this game, and that's awesome. But don't also forget the Spurs right now. The Spurs, this is a funny game tonight. The Knicks are 14-point dogs. And you're thinking, you know, if you heard and know anything about basketball right now, you're watching the ball, the Knicks are actually doing extremely well, especially with that Porzingis who they drafted and don't forget booed. But right now they're a game below 500. They're in San Antonio. San Antonio's beat their last 4 opponents. They're on a 6-game winning streak. And don't forget, they're 31-6. They're not that far behind the Warriors. But they've beaten their last 4 opponents by an average of 23 points. The Wolves, the Rockets, the Bucks, and the Jazz. And the Jazz and Rockets are pretty good teams. But today, they're 14-point favorites against the Knicks. We have the Knicks, by the way. But on the other side, I can't believe watching the Spurs year after year with their crew, the same people, they age, they don't age. It's incredible what the Spurs continue to do quietly as everybody else is talking about the Warriors, which you love, but...
Yeah, no, that'll be great if those two men in the Western Final. Motown, always good to talk to you. Go to weekendwagers.com, sign up for the free newsletter. You get a lot of great tips. And also, if you know sports, and you can pick 7.
We got all 3 NFL games in the 7 questions this week.
So. Oh, all 4, you mean?
No, 3, because 3. When the one starts late, we want to get a later cutoff.
Okay, there
you go. We got the 3
so
out of the
3
4.
Early on. So 2 Saturday and the early Sunday.
And the Oilers game, the Raptors. Yeah, we got it all going.
The Traveling Jaggers, do you have a bet if they're coming in or not? Because that would be great. That would be there'd be good odds on that. I would go to the Traveling Jaggers showing up Sunday night at Rexall Place.